Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good morning. You're listening to WILL AM 580. Stay tuned. International news from the BBC World Service is coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you, Chris. And good Tuesday morning, everyone. Chairman Ben Bernanke of the Fed will be pressured to clarify the Federal Reserve's approach for the still sluggish U.S. economy when he testifies to Congress. Bernanke will give his semi-annual report to the Senate Banking Committee today and the House Financial Services Committee on Wednesday. Lawmakers will likely question the chairman about the future of the Fed's bond buying program, his view of the economy, and his concerns about the budget impasse between Congress and the Obama administration. The second major snowstorm in a week battered the nation's midsection yesterday, dropping a half foot or more of snow across Missouri and Kansas and cutting power to thousands. The storm knocked power out to thousands of homes in Texas and Oklahoma as well. Rains eased for a second week in Brazil's center west, allowing soybean harvesting to proceed at a breakneck pace. Brazil-wide harvested area almost doubled in 7 days, reaching 27% of the projected 68.9 million acres for 2012-2013. U.S. home prices rose at a healthy pace in December compared with a year ago. The Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller 20-City Home Price Index rose 6.8% in December compared with the same month ago, a year ago, and that's up from 5.5%, which we saw as the annual gain in November. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, sitting at 13,877, is up 92 points. The NASDAQ, 3,121, up 5.75. The S&P 500, at 1,494, is up almost 7 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A blizzard of tremendous proportions has impacted a part of the U.S. hard red winter wheat country in the southwest U.S. plains overnight. The storm system will go into the history books as the third most severe blizzard to impact the Texas panhandle in recorded history. The storm system produced anywhere from 8 to 19 inches of snow across that region, and some of these significant snow accumulations also extended to the northeast through southwest and south central portions of Kansas and a portion of northwestern Oklahoma. The moisture content in the snow has run anywhere from around 3/4 of an inch upwards to 1.5 inches, and that moisture, on top of the moisture that came with last week's storm system, will likely translate into a significant improvement for hard red winter wheat country when the snow finally melts. In the meantime, further to the north, of course, the ground's a little bit more frozen, and most likely some of the snow that's accumulated over the past 2 weeks will end up running off into rivers and streams without having a huge impact on the soil conditions, but improvement is expected. The biggest concern about the storm overnight is the fact that there may be some livestock that has been seriously impacted by the storm. Wind speeds were sustained at over 30 miles per hour yesterday, and gusts were getting upwards to 77 miles per hour. Just an impressive storm system. Since then, the storm system has managed to work its way into the western Corn Belt and many areas in portions of Missouri and eastern Kansas and southeastern Iowa are being impacted by the storm system this morning. We're going to see the storm system continue to work its way to the northeast across a big part of the Midwest as we go through the rest of the afternoon and into the night tonight. The storm system will not likely be quite as intense as it has been in the southwest U.S. plains, but we're still going to be looking at some significant amounts of precipitation occurring across a portion of the Midwest. And for all practical purposes, travel across the region is going to be hazardous and somewhat restricted during the day today. The storm system should weaken as it accelerates off to the northeast. But the Chicago area, Detroit, and many other cities from Kansas City into the Great Lakes region will likely be impacted by the storm system throughout the day today. Snow accumulations of 4 to 8 local amounts over 10 inches will likely occur in much of this corridor. The storm system will end up generating quite a bit of moisture for portions of the Midwest. We'll likely see those moisture totals working their way up into the range of perhaps 3/10 to 8/10 of an inch most often. There will certainly be an opportunity for a few locations to end up with more than an inch of moisture, and that is likely to favor the area from northeastern Missouri over to Ohio in the southeastern corner of Michigan. The storm system should finally get out of the Midwest as we go through the day on Thursday. Now, we will see some improvement in the southwestern parts of the Midwest here later tonight, and we'll likely see some improvement again tomorrow across some of that region as well. But for the Great Lakes region, the eastern Midwest, we're probably not going to see the skies open up and clear off again until we get into perhaps the end of this week. There will be a lot of cold air behind the storm system. We're expecting temperatures to be below average for a big part of the Midwest, portions of the plains, as well as the southeastern states as we go through the end of this week and into the weekend. We should see relatively quiet weather for a big part of the following week, but we will see the temperatures rebound as well during that period of time. Our temperatures here near term are expected to be mostly on a mild to cool basis. We'll look for afternoon temperatures today to run mostly in the 30s in the northwestern two-thirds of the Midwest. Temperatures in the southeast will be in the 40s and perhaps near 50 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll look for 30s and lower 40s across a big part of the region, and we'll probably see the same thing occur on Thursday and Friday. Low temperatures at night will be mostly in the teens and 20s in the western Corn Belt and the 20s and 30s in the east. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is absolutely last chance Texaco for you to get your ticket to the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. It is a week from today, and we will be cutting off ticket sales in the morning tomorrow in order to allow those who purchase tickets to receive them in the mail ahead of the event. If you do not have a ticket, you will not be able to get into the event next week. We will not be doing any ticket sales on site. So it is Last Chance Texaco. Give a call at 217-333-7300 and snatch up your ticket now. Taking a look at the composite, the electronic overnight trade in Kansas City, March wheat, 727 and three quarters, down 3 3/4. March wheat in Chicago, 699 and a quarter unchanged. March corn, 697 up 3 1/2. July, 672 up 1/2. December, 548 1/2, down 1 3/4. March soybeans, 14.44, down 7 1/4. July, 14.14, down 8. November is 12.58 1/2, down 7. March soybean meal, 4.24.60, down $1. March soybean oil, 49.53, down 54 cents. February live cattle, 1.27, up a nickel. March feeders, 1.40.10, down 70. And April lean hogs are 82.02 1/2, and they are up 12 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
It does appear that bull spreading is the feature of the day in the corn pit. Is that right?
That's part of it. We just feel like that the old crop's going to be tight supplied later on versus new crop, which we think, you know, USDA has as big numbers on. So thinking that the old crop will advance or be higher, you know, won't go down as much as the new crop, and that's basically what they're doing there. And they're doing it in May and July beans also, a little bit.
Well, the air is slowly being let out of the tire of new crop corn, isn't that?
It is. It went under 550 and has stayed under there most of the morning. We're at 549 now. We'd like to see it back in the 580-90 area, but it's going to take some doing to get it there, I think.
February 28th, first day notice. It appears that the action would suggest there's not going to be any deliveries, at least anytime soon, yes?
No, I don't think there will be. Who's got corn and where's it available at? So I think there's people out there wanting to take delivery, but who's going to deliver it to them?
I tell you what, March corn, 698. March wheat, 699. I don't know why people wouldn't just be going to wheat. for feed rations.
They are. That's part of the problem that corn has, is they're going to that a lot in a lot of places.
What do you see in the soybean trade this morning?
Soybean trade, we held the May at 14.19 as support. We went to 14.20 and a half. We're back 6 to 7 above that, but we're still down 7 to 8. Old crop, that's on old crop. New crop, we hit 56 last night. We had, I think, 55 or 6 yesterday. That 50 to 60 is a good support area there, but there's lots of people saying that's going to go down to the 12 area. And so bounce-wise, like we had last Friday or any other day, people are going to be looking to hedge and or sell cash, new crop, just on basis, plus the old crop especially. Basis is very good both on corn and beans, old crop.
Thank you much, Pete.
Thank you, Dave.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick, March corn, 697.5 up 4. July, 672.5 up 1. December, 549 down 1.25. March beans, 1443.75 down 7.5. And November at 1258.75 down 6.75. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.